This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
It is Tuesday, August 16th, also known as the end of Liz Cheney's career day. I'm sorry, the end of Liz Cheney's career in politics. She'll be on TV about 10 minutes after her she leaves office, and she'll make a fortune. Oh, not that she hasn't already made a fortune. We got the numbers, by the way, on how much money she's made while sitting in Congress for three terms, I believe. It's sickening. She's so corrupt. She's so loathsome. And I'm going to enjoy the hell out of watching the election results out of Wyoming. I don't think I've ever said that before tonight. It's going to be fun. I enjoy watching people like this, snakes like this, go down in flames. It's going to be great. The only question is, will she lose by 30 or more? I can't wait. I can't wait. Get rid of that whole repulsive Cheney family. Banish them forever. Another favor Donald Trump has done for America. Speaking of which, Donald Trump was telling the truth. They did take his passports. The media, and this is a great example of the corrupt corporate media, they took the word of the FBI or the DOJ or Merrick Garland, or maybe they just hate Trump so much, they said they didn't take his passports until, of course, they did. We got some examples of just the lackeys, the toadies in the media who just sit there and wait for some weasel in the Department of Justice to feed them info, and then they run it as if it's a real story. Nora O'Donnell from CBS, she tops the list. We will explain to you what a snake she is. I'm also going to lay out what is going to happen to Donald Trump, and it's going to be wild. You think it's wild so far, and it is, but he's getting arrested and he's getting convicted. I don't see a path that will keep him out of jail. It's going to happen. We know they'll stop at nothing to keep him from taking the White House again. I'll tell you how that's all going to go down. Tom Brady's taking 10 days off in the middle of training camp. What does he think he is, the president? You got a job, Tom. You get paid a lot of money. Get to work. I don't think there's a whole lot there, but we can get into some of the details. And there's a few crazy stories we haven't gotten to. A woman in Seattle, 80 years old, liked to swim laps in the pool at the Y. They kicked her out. You want to know why? Because she complained that there was a naked man in the girls' bathroom. So she gets kicked out, and now Antifa is harassing her because she didn't want a guy waving his wiener in front of little girls. And in Minneapolis, they made a deal with the teachers union. The deal is, if they have to do layoffs, if they have to lay off some teachers, they will start with the white ones. It is a crazy time to be alive, isn't it? It is just a wild time. We'll get into that and a lot more in today's Callahan Show, brought to you by MyPillow. We love MyPillow. We love MyPillow. Just go to MyPillow.com and use code word Jerry for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, which is normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. Get it now and you can support this show because, like us, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping out us, but you're joining in the fight against the cancel culture crowd. MyPillow isn't in big box stores for obvious reasons, so you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. You get the Giza sheets, buy one, get one free, half-off slippers, six-piece towel sets, regular $109.99, just $39.99 with code word Jerry. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Jerry. All right, it's a done deal. There's no suspense. Liz Cheney will lose today. Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and the whole Cheney clan will be banished forever, never to be heard from again, except if you watch CNN or MSNBC. I'm not sure where she'll land, but who the hell does that? Other than me, of course. I like to keep tabs on the enemy. I'm going to get into that, too. I saw something on MSNBC. That's just amazing. They're expert. We'll tell you who their expert on the FBI and the DOJ is. It's remarkable. They have no shame. They have no standards. But today, sometime tonight, the results will be in. She will lose to this strange woman, Harriet Hegman. Doesn't matter. She's a Republican. Liz Cheney is not. Liz Cheney is obsessed with Donald Trump. Liz Cheney said a few weeks ago that the worst problem in America today is Donald Trump. The most urgent thing they have to do is stop Trump. That's what a congresswoman from Wyoming, actually not from Wyoming, she's from Georgetown or from somewhere in the D.C. suburbs. I tweeted the story out this morning. It's amazing. When Liz Cheney took office just 5 years ago, I believe, 5 years ago, she was worth $7 million. Liz Cheney is now worth $44 million. How does that happen? I know her husband's a lawyer. Her husband's a lawyer who's worked for Hunter Biden. That's how corrupt this family is. And if you don't know why people despise her, why they can't wait to run to the poll and defeat her, you got to check out this sham January 6th committee sometime. I mean, she's an alleged Republican along with Adam Kinzinger. And they don't care about the truth. They don't care about the FBI involvement on January 6th. They don't care about who ordered the doors to be open. They don't care about Ray Epps. It is all designed to destroy Trump and Trump supporters. All the Trump supporters, Republicans, and most Republicans, even in Wyoming, feel the whole thing is rigged. It is unfair. These people are getting screwed. And this is the only way they can express their disgust and disappointment. They can go vote for Reid Hagman. I cannot believe Liz Cheney is even running, even trying to win, hold on to her seat. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in cable news. It's a big deal among the political class because you have this whole world turned upside down. You have, you know, people like Joe Scarborough and people on CNN saying, oh, she's honorable. She's a good conservative. And just ignore the fact that she's enjoying putting conservatives public in jail, putting them in prison for trespassing or parading. You know, they put the 69-year-old grandmother with cancer in jail for trespassing in the Capitol. And Liz Cheney is applauding that. She's supporting that. So good for the people of Wyoming. It's good to see almost all of Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. Both impeachments were a joke. Anyone who's paying attention knows it. All the conservatives, just about, I think won his primary rest. They're retiring or addicted. Kinzinger is retiring because they gerrymandered his district and he had no chance to win. And Cheney will be defeated tonight. And I laughed out loud this morning. A guy named David Chalian, you know who that is, Ironhead? He's the political director on CNN. He's this fat, goofy guy. He's just a joke. He said, there's a clear path for Liz Cheney to run for the presidential nomination in 2024.
Stop it.
Bring it on, Liz. Bring it on. That would be glorious. Trump in a debate with Liz Cheney. Trump making commercials, posting on Truth Social about Miss Piggy, who, you know, let's be honest, they are separated at birth. Miss Piggy and Liz Cheney, they are twins.
Much like your dad, you belong in a cage.
And then have Dick Cheney making those angry ads about how Trump is a coward. The guy who had 17 deferments to get out of the Vietnam War. The guy who had, I don't know which he has more of, drunk driving arrests or deferments, draft deferments. But he's a scoundrel, and it'll be glorious. Hopefully he's there right next to her tonight when she gives her concession speech. Cannot wait. But we got so much more to get to. A loaded show today with lots of examples of media corruption, my favorite topic. But we gotta get to the Trump raid, which is, let's be honest, it's still the biggest story in the country. It's still mind-boggling that the president and the people around him ordered a code red, go in, raid Trump's home, go through all 128 rooms, in 9 hours, go through the basement, go through, grab whatever you want. It was a completely open-ended search warrant, a fishing expedition, and we know that because they took his passports. Now, we were talking about this before we started recording. I didn't even know Donald Trump needed a passport. I thought he could just go wherever he wanted and say, yeah, no, that's Donald Trump. Why do I need a passport? I'm president or ex-president. But there were three passports, two expired. One, they took his valid passport. The FBI thought somebody in that raid thought it was appropriate to take the passport like he's some fugitive from justice. They don't even know what they're looking for. I mean, they're looking for any sign of a crime, anything they could convict him on. So they take the passports. Trump tweets about it. Said they even took my truths about it. I can't say that. It doesn't sound right. He posts on Truth Social that they took his passports. And immediately the media just says, oh, no, they didn't. You know, my sources said they didn't. If you were a respected reporter, a reporter with any ethics or any professionalism, the minute you got this wrong, you would delete the tweet. You would apologize. You'd say the person who is your source is a liar and you would never trust them again. But that's not how it works in the mainstream media. If you get things wrong going that way, they only get things wrong going one way. And the things you get wrong make Trump look bad or make Republicans look bad. There's no problem at all, as we see on a daily basis, whether it's Russia hoax or the bounty on the U.S. soldiers or the Hunter Biden laptop. You get wrong as long as you're wrong that way. Here's Nora O'Donnell, an alleged reporter for CBS. Do I have that right? Yes, CBS Evening News. This is, what time would she tweet this out? Because it's still up, by the way.
6:55 yesterday.
6:50. So this was last night. New, she tweets, capital letters. New. According to a DOJ official, the FBI is not in possession of Donald Trump's passports. Trump had accused the FBI of stealing his three passports during their search. Of course, she doesn't call it a raid. Now, I don't know how much, it was like minutes after this, I believe, where Trump says, minutes before this, Trump said they took their passports. And then the FBI or the DOJ announces they got the passports and they will be turning to Donald Trump. Now, if you get it wrong the other way, it's a big, big deal. If you come out and say, they didn't take his passports. That's a lie. My sources say, and it turns out they did. You look like a fool. When you get it wrong this way, making Trump look bad, big deal. She has to even delete, they have 37,000 likes on that tweet and she hasn't taken it down. She corrected it. She's on Twitter. She's retweeting things and doesn't even feel the need to take that down. It just amazes me that an alleged veteran, respected reporter. I'm not even sure she has a source. I just think she hates Trump, but she thinks Trump is a liar and he's making this thing up about the passport. So she just tweets out, yeah, they didn't take them. I got a source. I mean, maybe she does, but if she does, the source lied to her. Now, I was once a reporter. If someone lied to you and embarrassed you that way, A, I would call them out, and B, I would never trust them again. This person who's on TV and making millions and got a huge following, how many Twitter followers does she have? She doesn't care. It's amazing. Does not care that her source totally embarrassed her, that her professional reputation took a hit. That is the media today. That is the state of the American media because one thing, Donald Trump broke them. He broke these people. They're not reporters. They're not journalists. They are advocates. They're partisans. They're activists. And they're okay with that. What is it? 274,000?
Yep. 274,000.
Oh, I love this. Mom of three, anchor and managing editor of the CBS. She's the managing editor of the CBS Evening News. Now, I know I get a little more worked up by these things, a little more obsessed, but the corruption of the media fascinates me because 5 years ago, pre-Trump, this person would have been embarrassed. this person would have apologized. But as long as you're wrong in an attempt to hurt, to bring down Trump, it's okay. That's the new standard in the mainstream media. They have spent the past week defending this raid, defending the FBI going through Trump's home for 9 hours looking for something, anything. And when you have something like this, when you have passports, they take passports, that proves it's a fishing expedition. That proves it was not a targeted search. If it were, what's the purpose of taking his passports, including his expired passports? They're just in there grabbing anything and everything, taking it back to wherever, the FBI field office, or maybe to DC, and going through it, you know, page by page, saying, what can we charge him with? And I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to what they're going to charge him with and how and when and how it's going to work. It's going to get even crazier. But there's another example, because I watch this stuff all day on night, unfortunately. The CNN and MSNBC, right now they're marching out all their intelligence experts. You know, the same people who said the laptop was Russian disinformation. They knew it wasn't, but they were lying to protect the Biden family. They were lying to hurt Trump. That's all that matters. So 51 former intelligence officials, including, I believe, Clapper and Brennan, these two snakes, said, oh, no, that's Russian disinformation. They hadn't seen it. They had no evidence. They just knew they had to do whatever they could to help Biden. It was only a couple weeks before the election, and they did. So they signed on, reputations be damned. And it doesn't hurt them professionally at all. I sent you this, I think I sent you this video. Peter Strzok MSNBC analyst. If you don't remember who Peter Strzok is, he's a former FBI agent and completely corrupt, and not just corrupt. He is blinded by hatred for Trump and Trump supporters. This is the guy who texted his girlfriend. I mean, he was married, but he had a girlfriend at the bureau. And he texted her, said, I just went to the Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support. That guy is on TV analyzing a raid on Trump's home. And you can get it. The sound is unbelievable. So, oh, no, these are just professional objective agents. And this is the same guy when his girlfriend, Paige, said Trump is going to get elected president. He said, oh, no, we have an insurance policy. We will stop him. While working for the FBI, he promised his girlfriend, which means, you know, it was a private text. And that's probably a rare, you know, candid, honest moment, said, we, meaning the FBI, will stop him. Now, what more evidence do you need that the Bureau is corrupt, that this agent certainly is corrupt? So what happens to the agent when he leaves the FBI? Well, of course, he gets a big pension. He lands at MSNBC as an analyst. And I think you got it. I watched this. I watched Joe Scarborough interviewing him about ethics at the FBI. How insane is that? I mean, that's like, you know, interviewing John Connolly in Boston or Paul Rico, who's dead, but, you know, about corruption in the FBI in the Boston office. I mean, this is the face of corruption. This is a guy who said, we will stop Donald Trump. We, meaning the FBI, just 6 years ago. And now he's sitting there with Joe Scarborough talking about how the FBI is completely on the level and there's nothing inappropriate about this raid. Do you have, I don't know who this guy is I'm looking at, but do you have Scarborough talking to Strzok?
I was going to say, this is the article that you sent with the video in it.
Okay, can you go forward? I don't know who this person is you have on the screen, but can you go forward to Strzok and Scarborough? Oh, God, this guy's such a friggin' weasel. There you go. That's him. And by the way, he's also known when he testified before the Senate, I believe. He's the one that made all these bizarre faces. This guy's not well. This guy is unhinged. And he's one of the best examples of the damage Trump did to these hacks. to these swamp creatures. He broke them. He broke this guy. This guy who said he could smell Trump supporters. You think he feels bad when Trump supporters get thrown into jail for, you know, 3 years for trespassing? You think he feels bad for the grandmother with cancer who's doing a couple months in jail for parading through the Capitol? He hates these people. And this guy not only gets his pension, doesn't do a day in jail, this guy is on TV telling you how the FBI is completely on the up and up, completely noble and not corrupt at all. But let's listen to this remarkable moment on cable news. Joe Scarborough talking to this piece of garbage Peter Strzok.
He is former Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI's Counterintelligence Division.
Peter, thank you so much for being with us. There are people out there, obviously, who say, we can't trust anything the FBI does. Look what Peter Strzok did, and look what happened with I can't even remember it.
text messages.
Just all this stuff. I can't believe they said Donald Trump did horrible things in Russia. The Steele dossier, which we didn't believe from the start, I must say, here. But I do want to read this first before you answer that question. It's from Wikipedia, and it talks about the Wall Street Journal investigation. A comprehensive review in February 2018 of Strzok's messages concluded that texts critical of Mr. Trump represented a fraction of roughly 7,000 texts, which stretch across 384 pages and show no evidence of a conspiracy against Mr. Trump. That is, of course, from Mr. Murdoch's Wall Street Journal. So despite that fact, I put that out there. The FBI makes mistakes.
Is he? Jesus Christ. I mean, Joe, get to the question.
How does he not remember the Steele dossier?
No, he says Trump did lots of stuff. I know most people don't watch, but I do sometimes. And it's these two lovebirds, Scarborough and Mika, hate Trump so much. It's personal. They used to be friends. They used to be supporters. And he turned on him, and Trump made fun of Mika's face, said it was bleeding or something from plastic. I don't know. So they hate him so much. They don't care about anything except stopping Trump. And they're kind of like the point people in the morning. So you have corrupt scumbags like this. Strzok goes on there, and they're just excusing him and making a case of why, you know, it's all Trump's fault. And Peter Strzok, who said that Walmart, that he could smell Trump with supporters at Walmart. That's cool. Who said he could stop Trump from getting elected, which he failed to do, retires with his pension, and now he's on TV smiling like the weasel he is and stumbling, bumbling Joe Scarborough. It's just trying to set him up for a way to bash Trump. That's all. But I don't know if this is the question about the raid, but let's listen to more. I don't know. How long does it take before Scarborough gets to the end of this freaking question?
I think in 30, 40 more seconds.
All right, let's go. Go ahead.
The church makes mistakes. People make mistakes. They screw up. Should this be any reason for Americans not trust that what the FBI and the DOJ are doing now is in pursuit of protecting classified documents?
Well, Joe, absolutely the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. You know, what's funny is I think back the year and a half that I spent
this is just amazing. This is just an amazing moment in American cable news TV. Should the American people trust the FBI? They have on one of the most corrupt agents that's ever worked for the FBI to say, absolutely, Joe, you should trust. It's like, you know, having Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens on to say, should people believe that you're legit and you did not cheat? Oh, absolutely. No one was doing steroids during that. I mean, we got our eyes. We got the texts. We know what happened. Why can't you tell him you can't find another FBI, retired FBI guy who's not completely compromised, who's not completely corrupt? This is what you settle for? The whole network, NBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, their entire agenda, their platform is all just Trump haters hating on Trump. It's actually can be quite hilarious, as we've seen so far in this interview. But let's hear some more from this clown.
Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server, there was no concern. There was no outrage on behalf of any Republican as we used search warrants, as we went out and did a very invasive investigation to try and get to the bottom of what she did or didn't do. So it's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other. What you see is the FBI going out on a day-in, day-out basis, objectively investigating allegations of law. It just so happens that the only thing that tends to come up in the right-wing ecosphere, whether in the media or on the Hill or from President Trump, are those things where they take a personal affront because it directly impacts them. There's absolute silence when the FBI is investigating former Secretary Clinton. There's absolute silence when the FBI is doing things.
I even thought that was dirty, though. What? The timing that they went at Hillary.
What is he talking about? I missed it. Maybe I was not paying attention. The day they raided her Chappaqua home? The day they went through her wardrobe? Did I miss that? He said there was absolute silence. There was not silence. There was outrage that she deleted 33,000 emails, including many with the confidential material, and they didn't charge her. In fact, Comey said they had evidence of a crime, but didn't think any prosecutor would actually bring charges, didn't rise to that level. And she laughed about it. She laughed about bleaching, wiping the server clean with a cloth. They raid, you know, Hillary's home, or raid Barack Obama's home and go through Michelle's, you know, underwear drawer. You let me know, because that would be the comp. That would be comparable. But anyway, want to hear any more from this little, look at his face too. If you're watching along, does anyone look more just like a weasel than this guy? Anybody?
Adam Schiff.
Oh, that's a good one. Excellent one on your part, Ironhead. Schiff is close. They both look like they're part reptile. Go ahead. Let's listen a little bit more before we move on.
That isn't targeting them. So I think this is a one-sided narrative that has been developed and amplified, particularly by President Trump, going back to 2015 and 2016.
Well, they certainly didn't complain about the fact that the FBI, during the investigation, FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton.
Oh, God. Yeah, they didn't complain. No, nobody complained. Nobody complained that they announced there would be no charges. I don't remember a single complaint. Again, the only comp would be raiding her home, going through a bedroom, her basement, breaking into her safe. That would be comparable. And by the way, there was much more evidence of a crime on her part. But I'm going to get to this quick scenario of what's going to happen. If you think it's crazy now, and it is nuts that a president is essentially ordering a raid on his predecessor slash possible future opponent's home, an attempt to find, to go on a fishing expedition to find a crime. So we see how they operate. We see just how vile Merrick Garland is. I mean, he's just a vindictive little man who is out for revenge to get the people who denied him a seat on the Supreme Court. And when you think about it, he was appointed by Biden with an express objective. It was get Trump. And he agreed to it, I believe, before they made the appointment. If they made him attorney general, would he go after Trump? He promised he would. He's doing what he was told to do. He's doing what he agreed to do. And he's not going to stop at anything. What makes you think, if as you watch him operate and you watch the way he treats political enemies, you watch the way he's arresting Trump's lawyers, you know, taking their phones, taking congressmen's phones to go through them, arresting Trump supporters, you know, in their boxer shorts at dawn, or raiding their homes with guns drawn, and elderly guys like Peter Navarro, Roger Stone, arresting them for the crime of supporting Trump. That's how he operates. That guy, you think, is going to say, no, this has gone far enough. You know, he's a former president. This will tear the country apart. That guy is going to stop? No, I'm sorry. He's not. Here's what's going to happen. Sometime before the midterms, Merrick Garland will indict Trump. And the key is the location. They're not going to indict him in Florida. You know, they're not going to indict him in, they're going to indict him in Washington, D.C. And if you missed it, Trump got 5.6% of the vote in D.C. I believe Biden got 92. That means the jury pool is almost guaranteed to convict Trump on anything. So you indict him, you get a grand jury to indict him. That grand jury is most likely all hardcore Democrats, Trump haters. And then you get another DC jury to convict him for what? They don't care what the charge is. We've seen him. We've gone over this before. The deplorables, the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, some deserve to go to jail. Most don't. There's 900 people charged. So far, the prosecution in the January 6th cases has gotten a conviction on every count, a unanimous guilty on every count they've charged. There's not been one, no hung jury, no acquittal, no nothing. Every single charge has been to convict unanimously. That's what we're dealing with. Not a jury of their peers, a jury of their opponents, their adversaries, people who hate them. And just imagine a DC jury, 12 men and women from the District of Columbia who vote for Muriel Bowser. Those people, they're not going to give a damn about the evidence. They're not going to even listen. They're just going to say, when can we vote? When can we? They will be so proud to be the people who vote to convict Donald Trump, to stop Donald Trump. That is going to happen. And you think the country is divided now? Can you imagine when they bring down the indictment, when they get the grand jury to invite and then to indict and then get another jury to convict and sentence Donald Trump? They send Trump to jail for whatever, you name it, taking classified documents, obstruction, parading, I don't know what, but it doesn't matter. With the charges, doesn't matter if it's a misdemeanor, it doesn't matter if it's a felony, doesn't matter if there's evidence or not. They know the whole system is rigged. The DC system is rigged to convict conservatives and acquit liberals, as we saw with one of those hack liberal lawyers who got an acquittal in like 10 minutes because he was on the right team. That's going to happen, and that is going to be so wild. I don't know when. It's only 90 days to get, I don't think they'll have a trial, but 90 days they will have an indictment and it will be just insane. And you know what? All the media, all the Nora O'Donnells out there and the Peter Strzoks and the Joe Scarboroughs will say, well, this is justice. He deserves it. And it will just divide the country like nothing since the freaking Civil War. That's my prediction. But all right, we'll see what happens. Let's get to, what do we got to do? Let me do Shay, and I'm going to get to some of these other wild stories. I want to be the first to give the results of the Wyoming. You think they'll have the results like before 10 a.m.? Will they be willing to call the race? That's going to be an early one. You're not going to have to stay up late to watch Liz Cheney go down in flames. So that will be good. Probably right about the time. Tucker's done wrapping up 9 o'clock. They'll have the results from Wyoming and Miss Piggy will be sent packing. But all right, we got a bunch of other stuff to get to, but let me do Shea Concrete. You know what they can do for you? This summer, you got to do a summer home improvement project. I got one for you. New precast concrete steps, whether you're building a new home or you're remodeling an old one. Shea has great values on precast concrete steps with designs that will fit your home. There are many options available, including concrete, but you can also customize with beautiful stone or brick. A new staircase will dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you a much better curb appeal. You'll be the envy of the neighborhood. They remove the old steps, bring in new steps within hours. You got a whole new look, and your house looks better and is worth more. This isn't just this isn't an expense. This is an investment, an upgrade in your home. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you'll have a brand new front entrance and you will love it. You can learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. Also at SheaConcrete.com, you got to look for a job, a good one. Shea is hiring. They're always hiring. The business is good. It is booming. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people with all different types of skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. A bunch of people were asking me, what do you think of Tom Brady taking 10 days off? You know what I think? I think Brady, like every veteran, hates training camp. Brady gets to call the shots. Brady says, I got personal things. I'm just surprised we haven't got a shot of him like on a yacht in you know, Brazil or something. He's right. Just taking a break because he knows he doesn't need, or has probably proven, I guess, doesn't need 10 days of training camp, including preseason game, which he wasn't going to play in. So I know there were all these conspiracy theories, but when you get leverage, you do certain things that you want to do, and that is skip, you know, 10 days of training camp, and that's what Tom Brady's doing.
I think, you know, when you got 7 rings and all the MVPs and all that stuff and all the awards, it's like, yeah, all right, dude, 10 days. I think we trust you.
You tell them, you say, I'm taking a break. And what's Todd Bowles going to say? What do you mean? You're on the end. He's going to say, okay, let me know when you're ready to come back. I mean, you know, it has being the greatest player ever has its privileges, and he's sticking around and he's giving Tampa Bay a chance again. They don't have a chance with Blaine Gabbert, and they know it. So he can do what he wants. It's up to him. He can do what he wants. And I don't have a problem with it. I bet you every veteran is jealous, says, wish I could skip training. You imagine how friggin' hot it is training camp in Tampa every day. It just must be unbearable. He's probably just sitting at home, you know, just sitting by the pool, whatever, getting a massage from Alex Guerrero every day as his teammates grind it out in the heat. Oh, we got another sports story. If we have time, we're going to get to that golf feud that involves my friend Brad Faxon. But there's a couple other things I want to get to. This story out of Seattle is just wild. If you haven't been paying attention, there is finally pushback against the gender, I don't know how to say this, the gender theory crowd, the gender reassignment surgery supporters. Finally, this pushback. They closed the clinic, a big clinic in London, I believe. There's the evidence came out, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that puberty blockers cause brain swelling and other life-threatening side effects, aside from the fact that they, you know, block puberty. I think this is, you know, being led. There's a few people leading the charge. Matt Walsh at Daily Wire, the libs of TikTok woman. I guess she was outed, so you don't have to worry about her name anymore. I got to get the name. Her name is Chaya Rychik. She's the person on Twitter who basically just reposts TikTok videos from lunatics and doesn't add a lot of commentary, but because of that, because she was exposing people on the other team, the Washington Post went after her, New York Times went after her. She's doing great. She's got over 1 million followers. It's a great follow. Libs of TikTok. It is such a disturbing follow because most of the people posting the videos are teachers, you know, or parents telling you just what kind of damage they're doing, irreversible damage they're doing to children. But there's finally pushback. And as I was telling you earlier, Matt Walsh is threatening to organize protests outside hospitals and clinics, which are mutilating children, you know, because they somehow that's, you know, healthcare for children, castrating young boys, mastectomies for young girls, puberty blockers, hormones, drugs. I mean, just insanity for 10, 12 years old. Any rational, reasonable person understands how utterly insane that is. And yet they've been doing it for years. And as we've mentioned many times, they have the most ruthless, vicious mob that will go after you if you question this madness. Well, people are starting finally to question it. I know I've been doing it for years and I paid a price, and we're going to be there. We're going to be there if that rally comes to Boston for the Boston Children's Hospital. And it's their fault. I mean, first of all, they admit, they advertise that this is what they do to children. Hospitals. I mean, hospitals are talking about castrating young boys who think they're girls, and instead of just giving them whatever care you can give them, getting them through puberty, just not cutting off body parts. That's not good enough. They want to cut off the body parts. It's truly insane. But do we have the video from the Boston Children's Hospital woman that was posted on Libs of TikTok? And it's just remarkable how cavalier how confident she is. And there's many other videos like this talking about, you know, removing the body parts of children. Again, as we've said many times, these kids can't get tattoos. You know, they can't have a beer. They can't rent a car. They can't vote. They can't. There's many, many limitations and restrictions because they're children. But they can go to the Boston Children's Hospital and many other hospitals and say, I'd like you to make me, a girl if they're a boy, or make me a boy if they're a girl. And they break out the surgical tools, put them under, and go at it. That's just so insane, so crazy. It is well past time to call this out, to scream and kick and bring this to everyone's attention. And maybe it'll be an issue in the political season, because people like Ron DeSantis have made it an issue. Some governors have signed legislation to stop this. As DeSantis has said, these doctors must be sued, because many of these kids grow up and have great regrets. You can find them too. If you look hard enough, they're out there. They were in Matt Walsh's movie. They're occasionally on libs of TikTok. People say, I was misled, I was lied to, now I'm living a miserable life. They didn't actually change my sex. That's not actually a penis. That's not actually a vagina. That's just pretend, and it's destroyed my life. These people are out there. But do you have the Boston Children's Hospital woman?
Yep, right here.
This is her talking about what they do at this well-respected hospital in Boston. Go ahead.
Gender-affirming hysterectomy is very similar to most hysterectomies that occur. Hysterectomy itself is the removal of the uterus, the cervix, which is the opening of the uterus, and the fallopian tubes, which are attached to the sides of the uterus. Some gender-affirming hysterectomies will also include the removal of the ovaries, but that's technically a separate procedure called a bilateral oophorectomy. And not every gender-affirming hysterectomy includes that, and people who are getting gender-affirming hysterectomies do not have to have their ovaries removed.
And they put the Boston Children's Hospital logo up there. That is, I guess they have succeeded in silencing dissent, because you don't hear much about that. It's right there in Boston. The guy on in Matt Walsh's movie, the guy who regrets the attempted sex change, talks about all the hospitals and all the money they make doing these gruesome procedures on children. Now, you're an adult, it's insane, but you can do what you want, mutilate yourself. But children who are confused naturally, and you're going to say, here's the answer, we got to take that little penis and get rid of it. And you go, okay, just where's the anesthesia? Let's go. And parents, and again, follow the lips of TikTok, you'll see parents, you'll see kids, and you'll say, wow, this is absolute madness. But we will we'll be following that, and we'll be there if the crowd forms outside Boston Children's Hospital to push back on this madness. And I think it's a good place to start, because I guarantee you it's not the only place in Boston. There's many other places where they do this, where they carry out this insanity and this brutality on kids. But here's a good example of what you're dealing with. This is like, to me, the best example of the tyranny of the minority. This is most people, and I'd say, 95, 98% of people think that is utter insanity, doing that to 10, 12-year-old kids. And they also think a naked man in the girls' room in front of little girls, because he said, no, I'm not a man, I'm a girl, I'm a woman. Okay, go ahead in there. They think that is utter insanity. Anybody with any morals, knows how crazy that is. This story, this was last week. In fact, this story was going to be on the night I was supposed to be on Tucker 2 weeks ago. We were going to do this story. I'm not sure they were going to talk to me about it, but it was on the rundown. I got to see the rundown of Tucker's show, and it was a big deal. It also got kind of buried. It got lost in the Trump raid stuff. But anyway, here it is from the New York Post. An 80-year-old Washington State woman was permanently banned from her local YMC pool after demanding that a transgender employee leave the locker room. Quote, I saw a man in a woman's bathing suit watching maybe four or five little girls pulling down their suits in order to use the toilet, said Julie Jaman, recalling the July incident to a radio show in Seattle. I asked if he had a penis, and he said it was none of my business. I told the man, get out of here now. So she tells the man in a woman's bathing suit. Jaman said she was alerted to the trans employee being in the women's locker room while she was showering and heard a man's voice. She told Monson that she alerted a pool staffer to the incident and was stunned when the staffer told her she was being discriminatory and banned her from the pool forever. The staffer called the police on her. She's trying to stop this man from ogling young girls in the girls' room as the girls are, going pee, and they kick her out of the Y forever. This is who's in charge. The asylum is most definitely being run by the patients, the lunatics. So she gets an 80-year-old woman out there swimming laps, gets banned forever because a man was in the girls' room and she wasn't too keen on that. But who's this guy? Men who identify as women are using the woman's shower. Is this her?
That's her.
Can't really see her face. I thought it was a guy. She's 80 and I can't see the top of her head. So she gets banned forever and she points this out. Now tell me who hears this story and thinks, good, ban the old lady. Who? No. How many people, if you stop 100 people in the street, say this woman wanted to stop a man from watching young girls go pee, so they kicked her out of the Y forever. How many people of those 100 say good? It's a kind of a weird Antifa thing too. Antifa did a protest, or I should say a riot, in support of the Y and against the old lady. Antifa's taken up the mantle because there's so many transgender people in Antifa that's one of their causes, fighting for transgender women, biological men, to go in the girls' room and watch little girls pee.
One of the most horrifying things I ever seen was at a YMCA locker room. It was an old guy just got out of the pool, and what he decided to do was put one of his legs up on the countertop and start using his hair dryer.
Oh, God. I used terrible. To go to Y for years, play basketball at this Y, and I'd go in the hot tub, like the jacuzzi. I'd work out and then go in the hut, and then one day, I didn't even want to tell you what I saw in the hot tub. The guy was old and wrinkly, but he lost control of his bowels. And I could never go. I couldn't even look at the hot tub. I got out and I was like, I was so skeeved out, like showered for half an hour and never went back. Poor guy, you know. You do see some disgusting things. But I would put that near the top of the list. A guy watching little girls pee.
Yeah, that's weird.
And she runs to the front desk or runs to the manager and they kick her out. Oh, God. This place sure gone crazy. All right, here we go. Here we go. You think we're done with the insane world we live in?
The only thing I have in that realm is the video of the sorority.
That's right. I forgot about this. Oh, I got some insight on this. You can't let me forget these things. I got a lot going on here. This is just precious. This was Libs of TikTok too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, and I think it's real, and I'll tell you why in a second, but there's a guy who pledges, who goes to the University of Alabama. I saw this and I said, Alabama. I mean, if this was whatever, Wesleyan or somewhere up in Tufts, I'd say it's one thing. This is Alabama. And a guy pledges a sorority, pretends to be a girl, puts on a dress, puts on his makeup, and pledges a sorority. I do have a happy ending to this, but let's watch him as he gets ready to go pledge, how excited he is. And I think this is real. Go ahead.
Hey y'all, it's Grant. Today is day 5 of Alabama Rush, and it is the first day of Sisterhood Round. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. So I'm gonna give you guys an OOTD, and yeah, so my shirt is, my dress is from Hello Molly. Thank you so much, Hello Molly. Love you. This thing is from Shin. My shoes are from Shin. And my ring is from Graduation. Oh, not again. That is so funny. And yeah, that's it. So wish me luck today. And thank you so much. And my makeup is done by me again. I got a phone call this morning and I was cut. It is extremely upsetting and I'm sad because I wanted to be a part of a sisterhood.
Oh, good. See, that was going to be my update. I got a tweet from somebody, a guy, I don't know his name. Yeah, his name's David. Follows me, and he reached out to me after I retweeted this, and he said his daughter was there and pledging the same sorority or rushing or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And she said, and before we got the result, he said, "There's no way he gets in. They hate this guy, and they don't want any part of him." So he showed up. I give him credit for balls. I mean, in more ways than one. Can you imagine doing that at the University of Alabama, showing up and thinking they're going to let you in this sorority?
Right.
I mean, God, this guy must love the attention. But so we got denied, whatever it's called, got rejected by the sorority, huh?
Yeah. Of all places to try, though, it's like, why'd you try in Texas?
what's his name? Grant or Graham? What did he say?
I think Grant.
Grant. That's not a very feminine name there, Grant. Isn't that your dead name?
Oh, for the show, it was Graham, I think. That's what I meant.
Maybe he's just putting us on. I swear to God. I'm not sure, but at least, and I saw that. And I said, man, the world is over. If that guy gets in a sorority at the University of Alabama, then I give up. But of course, he was rejected, which is a good thing because he is just a clown. But anyway, and I'm going to try to do this golf story because it involves my friend Brad Faxon. And it involves a golf coach I've heard of, but it's just hilarious. I don't know if these are drunk tweets. But I'll set it up this way. Will Zalatoris, he won. He's a great player. And he's come close to winning. He lost in the PGA Championship to Justin Thomas in a playoff. And he's made a lot of money. But he finally won the other day. And the commentators, including Brad Faxon and Dan Hicks, questioned, and I'm sure legitimately and fairly questioned, you know, his putter. Because that's not the best part of his game. He's got kind of a weird grip, and he struggled putting in the past, but he didn't struggle putting Sunday. He had a bunch of clutch putts, and they just casually, I believe, mentioned that he had struggled with the putter.
His putting stroke inside 3 feet is the most wobbly thing I've ever seen in my life. It does look terrible.
Well, see, they didn't say that like you just said it. They were much more diplomatic about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they didn't say that it was the worst thing I've ever seen. And by the way,
it works.
He was draining 7 and 8 footers. You know, in the clutch, he was great. So they questioned his putter just a little bit, along with absolutely praising everything else about the guy. And his coach goes nuts. His coach, what's his name? Sean Fawcett?
Yes, Scott Fawcett.
Scott Fawcett. Scott Fawcett. Let me get the story up here. Scott Fawcett, his crazy coach, is feeling pretty good because, you know, his guy just won. And maybe he started, you know, putting back the beers early.
I think so.
And then just goes nuts on Twitter. And I mean, I feel uncomfortable just reading these. I see Brad Faxon just tells him, delete your tweets because he knows this guy. I don't know if he woke up Monday morning and felt like a fool. Can you put one of the X-rated tweets up there for me? This is the coach of a golfer who, by the way, everybody likes. He's a good player. He seems like a classy kind of guy, and he's the one who was compared to the caddy in what's the Adam Sandler golf movie?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. He was, you know, and he made a joke. He was tweeting with Adam Sandler. He just seems like a likable guy. Oh, this thing is redacted.
Yeah, it's the only one I can find. He's deleted. Well, he's deleted the other ones. I'll put up the story. It typed out for you.
Oh, it does. Oh, good. So, you know, just starts going off on these people saying, go fuck yourself and fuck your mother and everything else on Twitter. I think this is, I mean, the PGA needs all the help it could get, losing the players to the LIV Tour. And now you got a crazy golf coach attacking people like, he says, this is the golf coach for Will Zalatoris to Dan Hicks and Brad Faxon. He says, I really do try to take my tongue off the commentators.
I really try to bite my tongue.
It says, oh, I'm sorry. I bite my tongue with the commentator, but go fuck yourself, Dan Hicks. Scott Fawcett wrote in a since deleted email, the putter was wobbly earlier this year. You have no idea the truth. Fuck face. Not to the truth. Fuck face. Sit in the booth. In a second tweet, a quote tweet of the earlier one, he wrote, hey, Brad Faxon and Dan, go fuck each other. I understand, he writes, I understand this is classless and crude, but let me repeat myself. Fuck you. Feel free to unfollow, block, and never buy Decade, which is something he sells to golfers, the stat-based thing to help you with golf stats. I don't even know what it is. And he says, and again, fuck you, Dan. He writes in a third tweet, this wouldn't be a gift. Will has the best speed control on tour, so he fucking earned it, you dick. This is like just for them saying that earlier in the season, his putter, you're right, he said wobbly. Was it wobbly or wobbled or something?
Yeah, like if it was just a touch, just, it would go nuts. It was crazy.
His coach just flips out and he deleted those tweets. Doesn't matter. Everybody's seen them. They've been in the New York Post. They've been all over the golf blog. That's good. That's good. Because Will Zalatoris is kind of, I don't know, boring, but he's kind of unexciting. And now we know he's got a crazy, perhaps drunken coach who's ready to defend him and fight off all these critics who, by the way, other than the little buddy comment, fawn all over him. But some guys are just spoiled. This guy is obviously spoiled. And I guess he feels he has job security because his guy is on a roll. Mm. Probably not going to fire him anytime soon. But I just had to get to that because it made me laugh. And all my guy Fax did was say, you should probably delete these tweets. And Justin Thomas went to bat for those guys too and told this guy that he was out of control. Anyway, anything else here today, Ironhead?
No, we got to get out of here to be under an hour.
We got
to
get out, see if you can get me under an hour for once in your worthless life. Get me under an hour. I think maybe you did it. But before we go, let me mention Callahan Coffee. Perfect for summer, for making iced coffee. Just order up the beans, brew the coffee, put it in the fridge for a little while, put it over ice. What a treat on these warm summer days. You can go to CallahanCoffee.com and check out our first branded product. You will not regret it. We have not had one negative review. It's kind of like us on Apple Podcasts. Not one negative review. None. Everybody loves it.
Big
CallahanCoffee.com. But thanks to everyone for trying it, for ordering it, and enjoying it. But that will do it for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. And thanks to you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Who thinks it takes... Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
The Mass GOP stands on the side of the taxpayer, on the side of parents, and on the side of law enforcement. If your priorities align with ours, we need you to get out and vote Republican. Go to massgop.org to learn more, get involved, or make a contribution.